Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
It is great to be back with you. How many of you were here last time we were here? It's about 18 months ago. Awesome. It's great to see some familiar faces. We did come to your summer, which unfortunately looks like our winter back in Australia, but it's really good to be back and it's home for us. So you'll hear the good old Welsh accent coming strong and true now that we've been here a week. I just really felt like this morning that some of you are facing giants and those giants have become bigger than your God. And I'm here to remind you this morning that He is bigger than all of your circumstances. And I love, you know, hearing what He has to say. Some of our complaints seem trivial to us in the Western world where we have a lot of privilege. But do you know what the thing about God is? He actually cares about what's concerning your heart. And He is concerned about your giants, but realize that He has already pre-equipped you with your five stones. Amen. And it's the things that you think are foolish that you think and discard more often than not that are going to actually take down your giants. Wow. It's the simple things that the Lord's already equipped you with that He is asking of you to recognize and validate so that you can actually take down the giant that's before you. And so I just want to leave you with that. Gary's actually going to speak this morning, and maybe I'll come back later. But I just really felt like that was on my heart for you this morning. Bless you guys.
Beautiful. Wow. Hot wife, hot life. Amen. Beautiful. Well, it is so good to see each and every one of you. It's amazing to be here. You know, I'm so proud of Heath and Leah and the leadership team here. Of every time we come, there is a marked, not just increase, but a depth of what God is doing in and through you. And so, you know, this community isn't just a community for a moment. This is a community for movement. Amen? Wow. And God is creating a movement in you and through you. And I think God is wanting to join like-minded hearts that are not here because of a how. They're not here because of a what. They're here because of a why. There's a purpose that God has given you. Yeah. And one of the things that I love in our lives is sometimes we're so caught up in the how of things that we miss the why of things. Yeah. And if you lose your why, you lose your way. But when you find your why, you find your way. Am I speaking to somebody? Yeah. And so when we find our purpose, you know, I was teaching yesterday in Neath, in my hometown. It's not in Nazareth for me, but it's my hometown. I was teaching on the prophetic. And, you know, a lot of times when we come to their moments, it's all about, hey, give me the how. Yeah. Give me the principle. You see, when you live a life of how, you live a life of principle. But when you live a life of why, you live a life of purpose. You find your purpose. And this is one thing I love about this house, is you have a house of purpose. It's not just a house of principle. It's not a house of let's get together and discuss ideas. Because, you know, sometimes ideas can become idols.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
Am I speaking to somebody? Yeah. Ideas can become ideals, can become idols, yeah, that we work towards instead of walking with God. It's almost we work towards something instead of walking with someone. And the kingdom of heaven isn't about us doing. The kingdom of heaven is about us being. And out of that being, doing just happens. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You know, I didn't get up this morning going, I need to be Welsh. I didn't look in the mirror and go, Gary, you are Welsh today. Today you are going to be Welsh. No, I can't help being Welsh. I can't help the fact that I am Welsh. No matter if I try and change my accent, no matter what platform I am in the world, that person, whoever hears me, knows that guy is from a funny nation. Amen?
Yeah.
I know where he's from, but he's got an accent. And the question I want to ask today is, guys, what is the accent that God has given us that is differentiating us from the world, that they don't say you from Newport, they'll say you from the kingdom?
Amen. Oh, very good. Yeah.
There is an accent we have. There's something that God has seeded in our life that has began a journey, that has began a purpose in our life that is setting us apart. Friend, God doesn't set us apart to be indifferent. God doesn't set us apart as a rejection. God sets us apart to set a standard. And this is something we have to understand in church is when God calls you out, the ecclesia, it's a fancy word. It's Greek. It means called out ones. Amen? When God calls us out as the ecclesia, he doesn't call us out to separate us from the world. He calls us out to actually be a standard in the world to say, hey, guys, you're living in defeat, but there's destiny. You're living in hopelessness, but there's hope. And so, I Paul says it, we're in the world, but we're not of it. I like to say it like this. When where you are is affecting who you are, you've got a problem. But when who you are is affecting where you are, you've got a purpose.
Amen? Amen.
You've got a purpose. You've got a purpose. I've got a problem. I'm not being affected by where I am. I'm affecting where I am. So I haven't got a problem now, I've got a purpose. And the purpose I've got is to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. Oh, that I don't go into a place and go, oh my gosh, this is dark. Well, there's sin in the world. Obviously, God hasn't called us to be Captain Obvious. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody?
Yeah,
and so we have to be a people who are willing to stand out.
Yeah.
Not because we're indifferent, not standing out because we want to shame people and we want to say we're better than you're not. We want to stand out because God has made us a light.
Amen.
A city on a hill that cannot be hidden. That guys, when people are in the cold of religion, they're going to come into the fire of relationship. When people are hungry. When people are hungry for freedom, they're going to come into the house of bread. Amen?
Amen.
You can't help yourself. If people are baking fresh bread, you can't, no matter if you're gluten-free. When someone is baking fresh bread, I can't help myself. Give me a piece of that. I don't care. Because there's something about fresh bread. And guys, God has called us to be a house of bread. God has called us to be a house of fire. God has called us to be a people that open our arms and open our hearts to say, hey, guess what? You were in darkness, now there's light. Am I speaking to somebody? And it's knowing our purpose and it's knowing what God has called us to, but we get sidetracked so often. We live in an attractive and distractive world. We're always attracted or we're distracted. Am I speaking to somebody? And I feel like God is wanting to call us back to the purpose. He wants to call us back to, we all want to live in the revelation of what he's doing. But sometimes you have to get back to the Genesis. Sometimes God wants to restore us back. The psalmist said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises a standard. Your theology and your belief system is dependent on where you put a comma in that very verse that I love. We all read it. You see, in Hebrew and Greek, there's no punctuation. Someone somewhere decided to drop a comma.
Yeah.
But God has given us a revelation. You see, you can either read that verse as the enemy comes in like a flood, comma, God raises a standard. But our belief system comes in line with God's nature when we move the comma. When the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, God raises a standard. Sometimes our comma brings us into destiny or defeat. I love the familiarity thing. Sometimes our familiarity is we're always living in defeat. We're always living in rain. But if we decide to shift the comma and say, actually, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, God raises a standard. Because that's in line with the nature of God. That is in line with everything I read in the Bible. That, guess what? The fight isn't mine, it's the Lord's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. And with a smile on my face, I can say, do what you do. Because he's done what he's done.
Wow.
Enemy, do what you do because he's done what he's done. And for me, the done is better than the do. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody?
Amen.
And so God wants to bring us back. And so right now, right at the front here, on this pulpit, This is something that you cannot see from probably where you're sitting. This is something that is one of the most destructive natures on the face of this planet. This, what I have here, is not the bubonic plague, so don't worry. But what I have here is something that breeds terror in the hearts of architects and builders in the Middle East. This is something that if you were to know its potential, that you would eradicate from your society. And this is the very thing that Jesus invites us to have. It's called a mustard seed. You see, a mustard seed, Jesus said, that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will be able to speak to that mountain and say, move, and it will move. And we believe that is such a lovely figurative example of what Jesus... You see, Jesus didn't speak figuratively. He spoke actually. You see, we read scripture like we're watching Disney. We do. We have the heart of the Father. You know, some of us, when we read about God's heart, it's like Finding Nemo. Yeah, God's coming to find me and... No. My version of the Father's heart isn't Finding Nemo, it's Taken. God's like Liam Neeson, amen? I know where you are. And I have a particular set of skills. And I will find you. Amen. That is my God. My God isn't Disney. My God is Liam Neeson. Am I speaking to somebody? I have a God who is hell-bent on finding me and getting me and my attention and my heart. Am I speaking to somebody? And we read these verses. Oh, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you... No. You see, a mustard seed can get into a crack of a building. A mustard seed can get into a crevice of a rock and begin to grow. And it's not because of its power, it's because of its persistency. The same way as a river. A river doesn't make its way because of its power, it makes its way because of its persistency. And that mustard seed that some of you, only probably in the front row, can see, that mustard seed right there gets into a crevice and it begins to grow. And it begins to grow. And it begins to grow. And all of a sudden, it begins to move rock. It begins to move rock. And all of a sudden, rocks fall. Yeah. Buildings collapse. Why? Because of one seed. Liberty, God is asking us to get into the crevices of culture and begin to shift something. Because it's not about your size. It's about your significance. It's not about what we do. It's about who we are. You see, you can't change the nature of a mustard seed. A mustard seed is a mustard seed. And no matter what you do or what you say, you will never be able to change what this mustard seed is. And I want to say to you today, friend, you can't change who you are. But sometimes we forget who God's called us to be. Sometimes we get so distracted. Sometimes we get so defeated that we actually lose sight of the purpose of who He's called us to be. And Jesus is inviting us to be the mustard seed, not because of our size, but because of our significance. Not because of our strength, but because of our purpose. And when you begin to understand that you have purpose, you see, you can stop anyone with passion, but you'll never stop anyone with purpose. You can quiet passion down, but you'll never stop purpose. Because when someone knows who they are and whose they are, they become unstoppable. And God is looking for an unstoppable, unmovable people who are not moved by circumstance, are not moved by negativity, are not moved by Facebook or Instagram or them things people say. I'm not moved by that stuff. But I am moved by what the Spirit of the Lord has purposed on my life and what He's purposed on yours. Am I speaking to someone this morning? And God's called us to be a seed. And a seed has process. And you guys now, you're in 5 years, is that right? Almost 5 years. You come into grace. You come into grace. You see, I love what Paul says. He stands up, he says, guys, I've labored more than you all. But then he qualifies himself. He says, actually, I haven't labored, but grace has labored for me. You're about to get into the labor of grace. Am I speaking to somebody? And God is inviting us to recognize that we're not living in a McDonald's ministry, guys. We're not giving Happy Meals every Sunday and hoping one of us gets a toy. But we are in a journey. You see, the joy is in the journey. This is what I love about God. This is why I love seed. This is why I love seed. And this is why I realize as much fruit as there is, as much harvest as there is, the Bible tells us in Genesis, this is what it says, as long as the earth endures. Let's make this meeting legal and quote some scripture. Genesis 8:22, it says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. But what we do in church is we become harvest people, but we forget the seed. We open our hands. These guys are so quick. Come on, bless you. We open our hands. Everyone open their hands. We say, thank you, God. You see, you can't harvest what you haven't sowed. And once you've harvested, what's next? You've got to sow more. And what we forget is we put the hard yards in and we sow, and then all of a sudden increase comes. But we try and milk the increase.
Yeah, we do.
We ride the increase. And friends, I want to tell you, you have a leadership right now who's wise. That I don't see a leadership who just lives in one harvest. But they recognize the seasons in God. And I want to encourage you, don't forget the seasons. Don't forget that where there's harvest, there has to be seed time. But friend, never forget, but where there's seed time, there has to be harvest. Am I speaking to somebody? So don't be people who just sow and just deposit without receiving. Because guys, that becomes something. I've seen so many people keep depositing in God. And I'm like, where's the withdrawal? Imagine going to your bank and you're like, no, I'm depositing every day. And they're like, guys, have you ever withdrawn from what you... No, it's just deposit. Guys, you'd be like, are you crazy? You're just depositing every week, but you make no withdrawals. No, I'm just a depositor. No, God has called us to be seed time and harvest. Yeah. There is a deposit and there's a withdrawal. And we're in a season right now where we have to recognize that season we're in.
Yeah.
Is this a season of sowing or is it a season of reaping?
Yeah.
Because it's a detriment if you try and sow in a season of reaping.
Yeah.
But it's also a detriment if you try to reap in a season of sowing. Am I speaking to somebody? And so the Lord's inviting us back to recognize the power of the seed. And this isn't about taking up an offering. Because that's all we do is talk about, you know, when it comes to offering, we'll sow our seed. Seed has not just got to do with money.
Yeah.
Your life is a seed. And the beautiful thing is when we begin to recognize that I am not just a person of harvest, but I'm a person of seed. And this is something I feel the Lord is restoring back to the body of Christ, particularly when it comes to evangelism. We have to learn the principle that Paul says, that I planted, Apollos water, but God give the increase. Because we live in this, again, McDonald's ministry, that we share the gospel with someone, and if they don't respond there and then, we get depressed. You might be planting. And you've got to trust that someone else is watering.
Yeah.
So do you know these conversations you're having with your neighbor? You might just be planting. But you've got to realize and recognize that someone might be watering them as well.
Good.
But God's going to give the increase.
Amen.
You are going to be surprised when you get to heaven and recognize the people that you smiled at are saved. And your smile was a seed. You're opening the door.
Yeah.
You giving someone something. You giving someone a car park was a seed that you didn't realize brought salvation in their life. Because I want to tell you something right now. Everyone is in Christ, but Christ isn't in everyone.
Wow.
And God is looking for us to sow the seed. And what's the seed? It's the Word of God. And who's the Word of God? His name is Jesus. God is looking for us to sow the seed so that we get the reconciliation of salvation, that who they are in Christ becomes Christ in them.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Am I speaking to somebody? Yeah. That's the harvest. Let's drink to that. Amen?
Amen.
Today's message has been brought to you by Glacier Smart Water for that refreshing kind of teaching. But we have to realize that we are a people, if we're a people of seed time and harvest, we're a people of process.
Yeah, we are.
And we get so disappointed in church. I want it now. Lord, I just sowed it. I want it now. No. This isn't microwave, guys. This isn't McDonald's. Amen? It's process. And one of the things I want to encourage you right now, and I'm going to say it like this. If God wasn't a God of process, then Jesus would have come as a man, not as an embryo. Can I say that again? If God wasn't a God of process, then Jesus would come as a man and not as an embryo. Wow. It begins with a seed. Everything begins with a seed. And some of us are wanting the oak tree without actually planting the acorn. Yeah. And the Lord said this to me years ago. He said, Gary, if you want to see it, you have to seed it. And the question I want to ask today is, Liberty, what do you want to see? Not what you can purchase, not what you can acquire, but what you want to see that you can plant today that you'll see tomorrow. Because whatever you want to see, you have to seed. But you have to be willing to give it over to the unseen. Because the Bible says this. It says a man, when he goes out and sows, he sows his seed, doesn't go back every day and checks it, but he knows that in due season, again, due season, that he'll reap a harvest. And you have to be a people who give over to the unseen. And friend, I want to invite you today, is what is in your heart, what is in your innermost that you've been crying out to God for, and you've said, God, I want to see this in my life. And you've gone and Lord, we've sown for it. But every day you're going out and checking. That's not called sowing. That's called micromanagement. And the last time I checked, God wasn't a micromanager. Amen? He's a gardener. And a sower knows. And I want to share this morning, friend, that when you sow something, we have to give it over to the unseen. We have to allow the unseen to do its work. And what we do is we don't like the unseen. Because, friend, we've been taught that the unseen is all about faith. No, it's not. The unseen is all about trust. It's trusting God. I am trusting. I'm not faithing, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. I've already got the substance. So faith is this. I've already got it. That's my faith. I've got the substance. My trust is connected with the faith. You see, faith is what God has in me, but literally it's what I have towards God is trust. I am trusting you, God. I've already got the substance of what I've hoped for. That's faith. But the trust is I know that when in due season I'll step out, there it'll be. And so I feel this morning that God is inviting us into this place, that there's many people in this room right now that you know that there's things that you have believed for, there's things that you have anguished over. But friend, it's not about going to B&Q and buying the tree. It's about standing in God and sowing the seed. And giving it over to the unseen. Because God wants to restore us. He wants to restore us back to the Genesis. He wants to restore us back to the seed of the purpose. You see, what you're walking in right now is a fruit. But if you're walking in it, you've got a seed.
Yeah.
And I get around people. And me and Sarah can attest to this in our lives. I see it. Therefore, I have to seed it. But you see, this is what we've done all our lives when it comes to seed. We know the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is all about the ground. But no one talks about the seed. We all talk about the ground. Oh, you got to make sure it's good ground. You can have good ground, but crap seed. And you're like, it's great ground. But why have I got all this rubbish in my life? Well, you just sowed rubbish. It was great ground, but you just sowed rubbish. And guess what? You sow rubbish, you're going to get rubbish. Amen? There's nothing in God that's going to have this. It's like the same. If I eat a cake, I'm going to get fat. There's no supernatural power that's going to bind the calories. When I eat that cake, it's going to affect me. No. But that's what we do in Christendom. That's what we do in church. It's okay. I can put up with a crap life. No. It's not okay. It's not for us to put up with. Amen? But we have to realize it's not just about the ground or the environment. It's also about the seed. But I realize that there's people in my life can be what I call greenhouse guys. There's greenhouse girls in my life who can literally, no matter what season I'm in, can take the seed I have and accelerate it. Because what I want in my life is in their life. And I begin to spend time with them. Show me where you want to go in life, and I'll see it in your friends. Show me your friends, and I'll show you where you want to go in life. Because birds of a feather, if you're an eagle, stop getting around chickens. Amen? Good. I think a good friend, who knows Godfrey Birtle? Why is there eagles in the chicken coop? Yeah? And so I want to encourage you right now, get around people that are going to be greenhouse people, that realize the process. And that's why it's so key to be plugged into local church. Because if where there's fruits, you've got to have roots.
Yeah.
And God doesn't want us in the pot plants, amen?
Amen.
There's so many pot plant churches. I tell you, it bugs me. Well, we're going to have church here, and then we're going to have church. No. Where do you plant it?
Yeah.
Because the Bible tells me where you plant it, you grow, you bear fruit. But people are there with their branches, they're like, I'm not bearing fruit. And you look down, you're like, buddy, you got no roots. Where are you connected? Oh, no, I'm fine. I watch YouTube every... No. You got to be around light. And the person next to you is your greatest light. Am I speaking to somebody? And so the Lord's inviting us back to this place of Genesis, this place of the seed, this place of realizing that no matter what is happening in our life, He's inviting us to get into the cracks. He's inviting us to get into the crevices of culture and begin to allow the unseen to take its place, to do its work. Are we willing to trust God with the unseen? Are we willing to put our trust in Him and say, hey, God, I can't see what you're doing right now, but I know you're doing something. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? And guys, it might not look like what you expect. It might not look like, oh my gosh, Lord, you're calling me. You know, this is what I see. This is amazing. You called all this on my life. But it doesn't look like that. I want to show you something in Scripture that's probably going to give context of what God's taking you into in this next season. Is that okay? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Because sometimes what you sow is actually, my dad said this to me years ago. He said, sometimes, you know, you will do something that you'll never eat the fruit of, but do it anyway. There's a quote out there that says, you know, sometimes God asks us to plant a tree whose shade we'll never live under. You see, greatness is starting something that doesn't stop with you. It's what we are allowed to connect with and realize that my life of purpose is much bigger than me. And sometimes what He's called us to doesn't stroke the ego the way we think it should. Amen? God, I thought you called me to this. And God says, no, I called you to that. But guess what? That moves mountains.
Yeah.
Am I speaking to somebody?
Amen.
Matthew 21. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, hey, go into the village opposite you and immediately you will find a Ferrari tied. No, it doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? A donkey. What? A donkey and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. Guys, I don't know about you, but I'm reading this. And if you got a Bible right now, it probably says this. Does it say, go back to verse 1? I don't know if it says it on there. But in my Bible, what does it say at the top? What does it say at the top of your Bible? The triumphant entry. Matthew, I think you got your context wrong here, buddy, because for me, donkeys are not a triumphant entry. Jesus is triumphant entry. I'm not thinking donkey right now. In those days, come on, let's get a stallion. I'm thinking a stallion. Maybe with a little, you know, Welsh cob next to it. But I'm not thinking donkey. But you see, we love the prophetic because all of a sudden we get a prophetic word and God says triumphant. God's going to do something awesome on your life. God is going to blow you out of the water. And you're like, thank you, Jesus. You turn and there's the donkey. You turn and then someone's been sick on the floor. Or you turn and drug addicts walk in. Am I speaking to somebody? You see, sometimes our destiny is a donkey. Because sometimes God needs to use a donkey to get hold of someone. And this is what it says. It says, go, you'll find a donkey, loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately they will send them. Now, I'm reading this, I'm thinking, this biblical precedent here. Go, you'll find a donkey and a colt, loose it, and if anyone says to you, hey, what are you doing? He says, Jesus needs it, and bring them. I'm thinking I'm going to try that at Maserati next week. Imagine walking into Maserati, jump in the car, anyone comes up to you and says, no, Jesus needs this, buddy. And you just drive out. That's biblical precedent. Doesn't kind of work like that, does it? But imagine God is asking you to do something. But what we look for resource first instead of relationship. We look of how God you're going to do this instead of why he's going to do it. And that's what I want to invite you. Never present your how to God. Always present your why. And I know this is a cliche statement, but if it's God's will, it's God's bill. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody? If you have need of it, loose them. And he said, all this was done to fulfill the prophetic word. Friend, I want to invite you today that your seed might look like a donkey. But God needs your donkey. God needs your vulnerability. God needs your weakness. God needs them areas of your life that you might not want to present. You know, what does it look like? And this is something as Christians we struggle with. You know, we talk about, you know, the amazing, amazing gospel. And then we meet people every day in hardship and situations and everything. Because God has never told us to give people oak trees. He's told them to give us acorns. And that's what we've got to trust. Is it's a journey. And I think sometimes we just bring people on this, you know, guys, we sell people the oak tree, but we never share the acorn. We sell people Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who's coming on the white horse, but we never talk about the donkey that comes into their life. And it's in the simplicity, it's in the lowliness, it's in the humbleness, it's in that which we can't explain sometimes that God wants it. You see, we will reach a city not by our victory, but by our vulnerability. We will never reach people based on our strengths. We will reach people based on our weakness. Why? Because Jesus said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And we come to God all the time with, God, this is our awesomeness. He says, I don't need the Ferrari today. I want the donkey. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want I don't want the strength. I need your weakness. For power to happen in our life, we can't present our strengths to God. You see, the two greatest abilities God requires of us is our availability and our vulnerability. Amen. It's our availability and our vulnerability. That we can be a people who are willing to say, hey, God, I want to reach my city. But we're not going to reach them being peacocks. We're going to reach them being eagles. Amen? We're going to reach them being who He's called us to be. God might have called you to be a swan. God might have called you to be a duck. God might have called you to be a donkey. But you being you, because comparison is the thief of joy. And the moment we compare, the moment we, as you know, we're not here to compete. We're here to complete each other. And my donkey, my weakness is going to reach someone. Because guess what? When Jesus came in, it says everyone, the great multitude, spread their clothes on the floor, tree branches. Why? Because a donkey was coming? You know, I don't walk in my street and see a Kia Rio and go, oh my gosh, dude. But if there's a Bugatti Veyron in my street, I'm going to go, ch-ch-ch. But if there's a Kia Rio with my wife sitting in it, then I'm going to take notice. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
Because again, it's not what God uses, it's whose God's using. And you might feel insignificant, and you might feel, you know, incapable. You might feel like, oh, how could God ever use me? Well, that's probably how the donkey felt. I have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords riding on me. Am I qualified for this? No, no, you're not, but you're called. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords put a call out to two disciples and said, go and get that donkey and get that colt, because I've got a purpose for them. And liberty, God's got a purpose for you. And it's not based on success. It's based on purpose. It's not based on what we can do. It's based on who you are. Because you can't stop who you are. People will try and shut down what you do, but they'll never stop who you are. Am I speaking to somebody? And so our trust, some may trust in horses. Some may trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Yeah? And so, friend, I want to ask you today, what's your seed? What's your donkey? What is the insignificant that God wants to use to bring His significance? What is the things that we are trying to hide that God actually wants to put on display? Because one thing I've learned about God, He doesn't bring us into the spotlight. He brings us into the sunlight, S-O-N. Yeah. And the Word of God doesn't go, hey, look who they're not. The sunlight shines and says, guess who they are and where they are.
Wow. Wow.
And this is the beautiful thing, that each and every one of you, and this is why we love training people in the prophetic. We love training people to hear God and share what He's saying, because you are a unique representation of who God is.
Beautiful.
I can't represent Him like you can. You are a facet of the Godhead.
Wow.
You are a unique representative, a unique ambassador. You're a unique encounter of the heart of God. And when you open your mouth, you represent Him in a way I could never represent Him. And this is why we need each other. That's why you're such a vital part of this community, because you represent the kingdom of God. Because this church isn't based on church. This church is based on kingdom. Amen? When you build the kingdom, God builds the church. The sad thing is when men get caught up trying to build church, His kingdom gets unbuilt. Am I speaking to somebody? And so we get to be a representation, every one of you, from the smallest to the biggest, from the thinnest to the fattest, amen? I'll stop there. I've got my JCB out already. Let's just back it up. But I want to say to you right now, none of you is insignificant. Every one of you has a purpose. You might have got a problem right now, but your purpose is bigger than your problem. You might feel right now that you're insignificant. Well, guess what? God loves using insignificance. You might feel like a donkey. Well, guess what? Jesus is riding in. Because he uses the lowly things. He uses the base things of the world to confound, to surprise, to bring on board those that think they're wise. Good Lord, he uses people from Wales. Amen?
Amen.
You know, he can. Of all the platforms in the world we stand on, I tell you, I am proud to be Welsh.
Amen.
I am proud to be Welsh because everyone says, oh, where's that? Well, down the M4, take a left, and there it is. They always connect you with other things. Where's your accent from? I take a guess. Scotland? No. Ireland? No. South Africa. Why do they always go to South Africa? Belgium? Australia? New Zealand? No, Wales. Oh, isn't that part of England? Oh, my God. I feel the fivefold rising up in my life. Do you want to punch you now or later? Because this nation holds significance. Do you know this nation has affected the world like none other?
Wow.
Two major revivals came out of this nation. 1858, 1859 revival, David Morgan. And 1904 revival with Evan Roberts. Affected the world. 3.1 million people plus sheep. Affected the world. Affected the world. The captain of the Mayflower was Welsh. The first five presidents of the United States had Welsh heritage.
Wow.
Catherine Zeta-Jones is Welsh. From Mumbles. And people say, no, really? I'm like, yes. Why? Because God uses the insignificant to bring insignificance. And no matter what you think you are, no matter who you think you are, you cannot change his thoughts towards you.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you.
Yeah.
Well, God, I've got my plans. No. Well, he knows his plans. Amen. Thank God he knows his plans. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And whatever you're feeling today, I want to say to you, there is a plan and there is a purpose. But friend, we have to recognize and realize it starts here. It starts with what we think is nothing. And he makes something. Amen? I'd love the keyboardists to come if they can. Friend, it says in Genesis 26:12, it says, Isaac planted crops in that land and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. I want to say to you right now, you might feel and you might think that, well, Gary, 20 years I've been believing for something. And you're telling me now there's a process. Well, guess what? God's process could be 20 minutes. You see, our journey, have you ever done the geographical study of the wilderness and the promised land? If they'd actually listened to God, they could have got from Egypt into the promised land in no time. But because they thought they had their own plan, it took them 40 years. And friend, today, sometimes we've got to, not sometimes, every time, we've got to surrender our plan, the way we think it's going to happen. When God says triumphant, and we don't think the donkey is part of the equation, then we've just got to give in to God and say, God, I don't care how you do it, just don't do it without me. And before I go on this morning, you might be here. And you've been in a situation and where you haven't maybe allowed God to plant a seed of salvation in your life. And you don't know why you've found yourself here this morning, but you are. And you're listening to some crazy Welshman with kind of a Welsh accent, but there's some twang in there as well. Friend, if you come here, I want every eye closed and every head bowed. If you come here this morning and you know something in you is connecting with who God is. And you may have walked away or even found yourself in a brand new place this morning. Friend, if that's you, if you know that you need God to plant a seed of salvation in your life, I just want you just to put your right hand up and let me see it. I want to pray for you this morning. Thank you. I see the hand. Who else? Is anyone else this morning that I can pray? And allow God to do a work in you that you've been trying to do yourself. I don't want to prolong this time, but if you know you're here for purpose this morning, I want you to put your hand up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. There's just one. I want everyone to put their hands on their hearts right now. We're going to pray a prayer together. Pray this with me and say, Father, thank you that the seed of salvation is planted in my heart and your word waters it today. I'm sorry for the soil of my heart, for the sin of my heart that hasn't been conducive to that. But today, I receive you, knowing you have clean soil, renewed soil in my heart, in Jesus' name. I receive you today as my Savior, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. That's assignment one. Assignment two. If you're in this place while this keyboardist is playing, if you're in this place and you know you've been through hell and high water of knowing that you believe for but have not seen the things that you've sown for, I want you to stand right now because I believe that there's an acceleration. And I keep looking at this A that's on this wall, and every time I look at it, it's like acceleration, acceleration. If that's you right now, you have sowed in your life, and yet you're like, God, where's my harvest? Where's my harvest? And friend, I'm not talking now about, well, you know, I sowed 20p last week in the offering and nothing's come. Guys, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about life-altering situations. Friend, if that's you, I want you to stand right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Shundurabasi kalaba. Thank you. Thank you. God, that you're so kind. So I want you right now just to put your hand on your heart. And I just want you to begin to give thanks because you see, hope says please, but faith says thank you. And we always ask God, Father, please, when really it's the place of thanksgiving, because thanksgiving opens gates. And it's the place that begins to water the soil, begins to germinate the seed. And so, Father, whatever the seed that's been sown right now, I want us right now, as we're in this place of thanksgiving, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, I give up my micromanagement and I trust that what I've sown will bear harvest in due season. Whew. Wow. That God, you are faithful. You are kind. And you are the best gardener that I've ever met. I give my life. I give my hopes over to the unseen. And I trust in Jesus' name. Wow, thank you, Father. thank you, Lord. Father, we agree together in this place for tangible breakthrough. Lord, we agree together in this place for tangible reality. Lord, I'm asking you right now that what we've sown will not just bear much fruit, but Lord, will cause other seeds of harvest. Friends, I want to encourage you right now, whatever you need, there's people that you need to get around. Find them people. I call them strawberry people. Why? Because strawberry is the only fruit that has seeds on the outside. Amen? And God is looking for strawberry people. People who are willing to carry the seeds of another's harvest on their outside. Father, thank you today for what you're releasing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.